Don't know if that's going to sit there. Maybe I'll just hang on to it. We're all familiar with the classical hourglass and their traditional use of measuring the length of an hour of time. This is a quarter hourglass, which means the sand flows through it in 15 minutes. Today I'm using this device as a symbol of life, as the sands of time. Each of us have our own hourglass, if you will. We have been given various amounts of sand, various lengths of time in which we get to spend at doing what we want on this earth, the focus of God's attention. God knows the number of our days or the grains of sand that each of us have in our hourglass. He knows our beginning and our end. When we are born, those grains of sand start passing through the narrow neck separating the two bulbs of the hourglass. The speed of that sand is constant, never ceasing to trickle through the narrow opening between the bulb containing the sand and the bulb of spent sand, spent time. Once the sand or time passes from the top to the bottom, the use of that time is lost forever. When we were young, we had a lot of sand in our hourglass, and we tended to live a carefree life, not worried so much about the sand, symbolic of our time, that flowed so freely from one bulb to the other, from one day to the next, without appreciating the importance of each grain of sand. But as we aged, it seems as though each day passed more quickly as the days turned into weeks, the weeks turned into months, the months turned into years, and years turned into a lifetime. Before we knew it, the top bulb is less than the bottom bulb, as it seemed that each passing day disappeared more quickly, as it takes longer to accomplish the things that we used to do. As the sand continues to pour through the neck, what remains quickly passes away. If we were to ask any one of our senior citizens how fast their life passed, they would undoubtedly remark that it passed like a whirlwind, and would be quick to offer up advice to use our time wisely as they appreciate each moment of their day. Do we? How are we using our time? So let's turn over to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. I'll set that down. I'm not going to hold it all the time. Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember that it is God who sets in motion all that is in the world. And since He is our Creator, He owns us. We belong to Him, whether we realize it or not. Continuing, before the difficult days come, this refers to our elder years when it becomes difficult to do those things that we once did with ease. We are also at the crossroads of our society as difficult days lie ahead. Our society has been complacent and not paying attention to the start to the dark storm clouds brewing on the horizon. Hashtag storm. I have heard it said that our systems of government is at the most perilous point since its founding. We need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard and awake. Continuing back in verse 1, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. What would cause us not to have pleasure in life? Could the dark storm clouds of trouble and tribulation be so great that people will despair? According to Matthew Henry's commentary, which I will reference throughout the sermonette to decode the symbolism of this chapter, this refers to our elder years when our bodies are racked with pain and suffering. Continuing in verse 2, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, yet so they appear because of old age and lost vision. And the clouds do not return after the rain. It is as one ache or pain traded for another. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, symbolic of the tremors and shakes that older people so often are plagued with, and the strong men bow down. Age is a way of taking one's strength. The strong become weak and bow to the ground. When grinders cease because they are few, you know, when we lose our teeth, it becomes hard to chew. And those that look through the windows grow dim. Our vision becomes blurred and faint, making it difficult to see clearly what lies ahead. Verse 4. When the doors are shut in the streets, when we're older, we don't go out of our homes as we once did, as we become more homebound, and the sound of grinding is low due to the loss of our teeth, the enjoyment of eating is dimmed. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, the slightest disturbance wakes our sleep, and all the daughters of music are brought low. The sound of music is dimmed because of poor hearing. Verse 5. Also, they are afraid of height because of being unsteady or dizzy. They don't like heights or climbing up ladders, and of terrors in the way. Because of mobility and unsteadiness, their path is often obstructed with dangers for falling. When the almond tree blossoms, the tree first to bloom in the spring with white flowers, symbolizing the changing of one's hair color from normal to gray or white. The grasshopper, a burden, considered a delicacy, but now upsets the stomach. I guess John the Baptist liked grasshoppers. And desire fails. Romantic desires cease. For man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the street. Unto all it is appointed once to die. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, the silver cord of life, or the golden bowl is broken, the bowl that holds our spirit, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, the ability to replenish our life ceases, or the wheel broken at the well. Verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Verse 8. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. It is important that we don't put off to tomorrow those things which we can do today, for we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We need to work while it is light, while we have the opportunity, for night is coming, when no man will be able to work. In Matthew 13, Christ gave a parable that we're also very familiar with, the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. Let's start in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Christ explained this parable starting in verse 18, so let's jump over there. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Many people, millions of people, have heard in the past few decades the gospel which we have preached as part of this church. Where are they? They weren't interested in it and turned aside from it. They couldn't be bothered by it. They had more important things to do, or so they thought. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. He's happy about hearing it. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is referring to those that really enjoy understanding new knowledge. However, they don't let it sink into their hearts. It's all head knowledge. They don't really incorporate it into their life. It's just a passing fancy, the cause celeb of the day. They haven't been tempered, and when the trials of life come upon them, they break. They quit. They turn aside because it's not easy. It's not as fun. It's not what they thought it would be. They have no root. Verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This is descriptive of those who are not totally focused on the important task that is placed before them. They have become distracted by all the cares of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan has made sure to employ many distractions, entertainment, sports, social media, and the like, as possible to keep us from having laser-like focus on what is truly important. He is the great deceiver, passing off his lies as truth. What is popular in our culture? What is trendy? What do the masses flock to see? What do people spend extravagant amounts of money to partake of? Do they look upon the Word of God with the same passion? The simple answer is no. We need to make sure that we don't allow thorns to grow in our garden. We must get rid of the weeds and tend our soil. We must not become distracted from our mission in life by the cares of this world. Let's turn back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 13, and pick it back up in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. Verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Remember your Creator. That time is now. We are at the threshold of momentous change. We need to seek him while he can still be found. We need to put him first in our life. His word needs to be our focus. We must not become embroiled with the cares of this world. Yes, the sands of time, the days of our life quickly passes by, and as we go through each day, we need to focus on our wonderful calling and what we have been given, because you never know when our life is done to